Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, everybody jump! Jump! Jump!
Yes. A good Monday morning to one and all. It is Taz and the Moose with you. We're coming to you live from the Rocky Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocky Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Mike, Pete, thank you across the way. Bogus, your updates. As we take it right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, the next 3 hours right here on CBS Sports Radio, Sirius and XM 206, the app as well, all of our great affiliates across the country. What's going on, Taz? How you doing, buddy?
Good, Moose. Good. Doing outstanding. Hope you and everyone else had an outstanding weekend.
You
and
as
everyone's
well?
Happy. Yes.
Yeah, it was a good weekend. Busy, but a good weekend. I mean, a highlight. I mean, not the low light was the Yankee loss on Saturday night, but
sure, course,
and we'll touch upon that a little bit later on in the program.
Yeah.
But which was a brutal way to go out,
no
doubt about it. That added to it what was a long weekend and a long Sunday. But we'll get into that and a lot of football to get into as well, Taz. As we take you for the next 180 minutes, and you know, and that is where we'll begin with the NFL as. You got one game left in Week 7 on the slate, and that's tonight as the Patriots and Jets out at MetLife Stadium. As the Jets have got some newfound confidence, and that number has gone down as the week has gone along. And a lot of people are believing the Jets can give the Patriots a competitive game. We'll see if that exactly plays tonight. But I guess reacting to what we saw yesterday in what was in certain spots in New York and down in Washington, D.C., where weather certainly played a little bit of a factor in terms of the crispness and quality of the game that you saw. Yeah, I guess you know you look at the overall NFC and the picture of the NFC with what you know the Saints have been able to do with Teddy Bridgewater, and to me that kind of steals the show. The fact that the Pats is, you know, I remember you and I having a good frank discussion after Breeze went down with that thumb injury in the Ram game, and saying can Teddy Bridgewater keep this team, you know, keep their head above water? Can they, you know, can they be, you know, five, you know, can they get themselves to, you know, maybe a game over 500 or a couple games over the 500 mark or even be at the 500 mark when Breeze comes back to where then the Saints can go and take off with the return of Drew Breeze? Taz, they're undefeated. I mean, the fact that they're undefeated, go into Chicago, take care of business against the Chicago Bears. I mean, and they beat the Bears every which way you possibly could. You know, late yesterday afternoon out in Chicago, that's the most impressive thing to me is what New Orleans has been able to do without their Hall of Fame quarterback.
Oh, I completely agree. And everybody was panicking like crazy, you know, once Breeze was going to be downski. But, you know, and to the point you're making about not just, you know, sitting at 6-1 right now and Teddy Bridgewater throwing over, you know, north of 280 yards, but to beat up on a Bears team that, like that defense is, you know, top two, top three in the whole NFL. I mean, just took that Bears defense and just, you know, on the road. I mean, was so impressive. I did not expect that. I knew it'd be a good game and all that jazz, and Trubisky was back and all this stuff. But to go in there against that defense for Bridgewater and that offense to do what they do, and I think you got to give Sean Payton a lot of credit. I mean, very creative with that offense, making things work. You know, accentuating the positives of the players he has on the field when he doesn't have a Hall of Famer like Drew Brees playing, him and his staff make different moves and they find a way to win games. It's super, super impressive.
It really is. And how do you exhaust a great defense? They're on the field all day, and that's what the Bears defense was. And they weren't completely healthy, but they were still good enough. But Taz, they were on the field for nearly 38 minutes.
Crazy.
And that's a problem if you're the Chicago Bears, because you're going to get worn down as that game goes along. I mean, there's only so much that you can do physically until basically you say mercy. And that's exactly what happened to the Chicago Bears yesterday. That offense, I'll tell you about Mitchell Trubisky. I thought last year he had turned a corner. Trubisky's terrible. I mean, he was god-awful yesterday for the Chicago Bears. And, you know, inaccurate. I heard, you know, you throw whatever cliche you want to throw in there in terms of his inaccuracy. But, You know, the Bears might have a little bit of a quarterback problem because Trubisky has not evolved. I know it's his first game back from injury. I get it. But he was healthy enough to play, Taz. And there were throws to be made yesterday that he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. I mean, he really couldn't. And I'd be a little concerned if I'm Chicago about my quarterback here moving forward. But from a Saints perspective, they're creative. I mean, they even ran an option play.
Yeah.
I mean, against the Chicago Bears, they went for about 40 yards. I mean, think about that, what Sean Payton is doing, you know, as a play caller, as a head coach down there in New Orleans, in order to be creative, to create matchup problems for the opposing defense. It's impressive. And Taz, they've won these games in a lot of different styles and fashions, right? They went up to Seattle. They had a defensive special teams touchdowns in that game, along with a couple offensive scores, right? They win a defensive battle down in New Orleans, 12-10 against the Dallas Cowboys. They've won all these games in a little bit of different style and fashion. They went down to Jacksonville, beat the Jaguars. Then yesterday in Chicago, beat the Bears. The game is 36-25, Taz, but let's be honest. I mean, that game was 36-10 before the Bears scored a couple of garbage touchdowns and a two-point conversion late to make it a 36-25 final. You would think that game was close if you didn't watch any of it. That game was not close in any way, shape, or form.
No. The Saints had complete control throughout. No, I totally agree with you. And, you know, we talk about, you know, the creativity of the Saints, of Sean Payton. And I got to tell you, man, I really think that they are probably the toughest team to prepare for week in and week out from a defensive perspective, because you don't know what they're going to do. They change things up all the time. You saw them utilize Taysom Hill again yesterday very much. Okay, Murray ran the ball really good. Over 100 yards rushing. And Bridgewater, you know, he's dangerous with his feet. He's smart with the football. You know, he had two touchdowns and no interceptions. He was 23 of 38. So, he played well and efficient. And he's smart. Like I said, they are maximizing what they have. And that's coaching. I really believe that. And the guys are getting it done on the field, obviously. You know, you got a guy like Michael Thomas catching the ball. And he had a really good game. But, I mean, you know, Bridgewater's smart. He's doing the right thing with the ball. And it's tough. They're tough to the point you're making. They're very difficult, the Saints, to prepare for, because they're unpredictable.
Yeah,
they
good point.
Week in and week out, it changes.
Yeah, good point. And, you know, no Breeze and no Alvin Kamara.
Great point. That's a great point.
I mean, Taz, no Alvin Kamara.
About the Kamara
and
thing,
you mentioned in terms of Latavius Murray, he steps in, he runs for a buck 19 and two scores, and he's finishing off runs with style and running physically, but they go into Chicago and they don't have probably their two greatest offensive assets and beat a Bears team who are, you know, their defense is their strong suit.
Oh,
I mean,
God. Yeah.
It makes it even more impressive. I guess maybe it's just their year. You know, maybe after what happened last year in the NFC Championship game, maybe it's just the Saints' year, right? The football gods will be smiling on New Orleans, because I never thought they'd play this well, and their defense is really good.
Sure.
Special teams is solid. I know Lutz missed a long field goal yesterday from about 53 yards out, but I mean, or 52 yards out. That's a long field goal where he came up short on. Aside from that, I mean, there's nothing not to like about what this Saints team is doing right now.
No, defensively, also, I mean, everything, and you make a great point about Kamara not being there, and like you said, they're both of their offensive, two NFL offensive juggernauts in Breeze and Kamara. Kamara not there. I mean, and yet you're having that kind of efficiency offensively is very impressive. And whatever they're paying, you know, Sean Payton, he earns it because he's doing a hell of a job there coaching these guys up. He really is.
And not just that, and you got to give Bridgewater credit, you know,
because there's
an old saying, right? Right place, right time, that you hear growing up, right? In order to take advantage of a situation. Teddy Bridgewater had an opportunity to go to Miami and leave the New Orleans Saints as a free agent and be a quarterback and join Brian Flores and join the Miami Dolphins. And he was a free agent this past offseason. No, the New Orleans Saints made Teddy Bridgewater the highest-paid backup quarterback in the NFL at $7 million a year.
Yeah.
And Bridgewater decided that he wanted to remain down in New Orleans. They love him as a teammate. They love him in that locker room. They think he's a positive influence on each and every one of those players. You see that after Saints wins last year. Remember, they'd have those videos, and Bridgewater would be leading the dances in the locker room and in the clubhouse for the New Orleans Saints. Yeah, you know, that's the right call. You know, you look at a player, and they even brought up on the broadcast last night saying, you know, Bridgewater eventually wants to be a starter in this league, but he's in no rush to be a starter in this league. Because, you know, listen, Drew Brees is not going to be playing football forever. And if I'm Teddy Bridgewater, why would I leave? Sean Payton's not going anywhere. Mm. Why would I leave New Orleans when I have an organization that believes in me?
Right.
And I might have to be patient for maybe one or two more years, but eventually, as long as I stay healthy and my knee holds up, Taz, that job is going to be mine.
Sure.
And I'd rather be down in New Orleans with the Saints with Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis than I would say Miami or Washington or pick any other NFL team that's looking for a quarterback. I know Washington's got Haskins, but you know what I mean.
Yes, I do know what I mean. And the thing is, too, look, Bridgewater, he's to the point you're making, he's ultra comfortable in this system. He works in this system. They know how to make him win, how to put him in positions to get the offense to be efficient and successful. And he's done that. So, no, I completely agree with you. And look, when he was with the Vikings, 2014, 2015, 2017, blows the knee out, the horrible injury. If you remember, he was playing well. I mean, he was a young guy on the come up big time at that quarterback spot. There was a lot of good hype on him for good reason. So, and if you watch Drew Brees on the sidelines, I watched a good chunk of this game. You watch Brees on the sideline, you know, in street clothes. You know, he's rooting for his team. He's excited and all that stuff. But you could just tell, and it makes sense. I mean, he's an ultra-competitive, successful, amazing player. He is just, he wants to put a helmet on and go out and play.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he wants to play. He also realizes, okay, I got to be careful here. I don't know Drew Brees from a hole in the wall, but I don't picture him being the type of guy who's complacent, who gets cocky and gets, you know what I mean? Like, I could see him in his mind saying, okay, I got to, not that he's got to win the job back, and I don't want to exaggerate, but I do think for him and his mind, the competitive juices of an elite athlete like Drew Brees, you know that's got to be bothering him a little bit. Like, I need to get out of here. I want Teddy to do great, but I need to be the great one.
I agree with you. Know what I mean? And I don't blame him, do you?
No, not.
I mean, that's the competitive nature.
You have to be like that.
Right. I mean, that's the competitive nature. It's not like he's rooting against his teammates, as you mentioned, but he wants to be the guy.
Yeah, you could see it in his eyes.
Sure.
Like he's happy for the offense and for Bridgewater, but you could tell at some points when the camera's on him, he don't know it. He's like, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking. It seems like he's like, I know he's not wishing bad for Teddy Bridgewater, but. And he's not jealous, but he wants to be out there. He wants to be the guy.
And he knows the clock is ticking.
Absolutely.
I mean,
yes.
That's the other thing, Taz. He knows the clock is ticking. And certainly, you look at the Saints, they know now what they have in Bridgewater. You know, they respect him as an individual. They respect him as a teammate. They respect him, what he brings in terms of leadership qualities to that organization, Taz. But now he comes in, and they've played really well around him. And it says a lot about that team.
Right.
It says a lot about, you know, their belief in Bridgewater as a player as well, and he has stepped up and gotten better each and every one of these weeks, which you knew he was going to do because he had to knock a lot of that rust off. When you're not in there playing, it's difficult to step in and all of a sudden pick up right when. But when they, you know, as he was getting his feet once again, you know, acclimated to being an NFL quarterback, the defense stepping up, the special team stepping up. You know, the defense was fantastic in that Cowboys game. And those guys were able to pick up for maybe some of his deficiencies early on, but now he's playing really, really well at that quarterback spot.
Really is. And he's just, you know what, his stock is just super high right now. And, you know, let's say, hypothetically, you know, Drew Brees comes back and then they you know, Teddy Bridgewater's riding a pine again. It don't matter for the future. Like, other teams are watching this. Everybody, you know, this is such an ultra-competitive league. Everybody's on top of what every player is doing, especially when a guy's excelling. And you're sitting at the top of the NFC South, and you're 6-1, and you're doing what Teddy Bridgewater's doing. And you make a great point in a game against, you know, when you don't have Alvin Kamara, you're running the ball for you, you know, and you're going against a really good defense in the Chicago Bears on the road. I mean, it was probably the most impressive outing yesterday was the Saints with Bridgewater. You?
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I came out of it, and that's why I wanted to get you, you know, and lead off kind of the show. I thought they deserved it.
Yeah.
Coming out of yesterday, I thought for who they went up against on the road in Chicago and the style and fashion in which they won that game, I thought it was the most impressive performance. And they're sitting at 6-1, Taz. Look at the next four games, right? Or next three.
Well, yeah.
Cardinals at home,
yep.
Falcons at home, at Tampa Bay.
They're in good spot right now, man.
They're going to be 9-1.
And there's a great chance of that. There's a great chance. Anything could happen, as we know.
Their next challenge is the Panthers at home.
Yeah, and they have a bye in there, too, between that Cardinals and Falcons game. They got a bye.
Yeah.
And to the point you're making, they're home. So these dudes are home. They're going to be, you know, just at their facility doing their thing for the next 3 weeks. sitting, you know, at the top of, they're in a great spot. They really are.
They certainly are. Let's hear. Here's Bridgewater, and here's Sean Payton after the win yesterday.
If we can play fast with tempo, we're unstoppable. We have continued to take pride in being the most in-shape team. And as you can see, as the game went on, we were able to wear and tear on those guys and open different holes for our running backs and our receivers made plays. The second half, we just made some adjustments and came back out playing fast, and it worked for us.
We're not prognosticators or predictors, or we're just trying to improve each week. And I say that, you know, we feel like there's more out there, you know, and so... I think they're playing with a lot of confidence right now. I thought, again, that it's hard to win games if you can't rush the football with any type of consistency, and I thought we stopped the run, and then as that game wore on, we ran the ball well.
Who edited the Bridgewater audio?
Max Headroom. Somebody not good. Somebody not good.
That is not the way Teddy Bridgewater speaks.
You need to yell at someone. You kind of sound like a robot.
You need to go
yell at someone rapido.
It was almost distracting. You didn't hear what anything Teddy had to say. It was like right when he stopped the sentence, another one began.
I thought it was just me. I'm like, wow, it's the first segment of an early morning drive show. I'm like, wow, that really was like, brutal.
There you go. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Bilotti, the muffin man across the way. Did you hear about this?
No.
He'll walk in this morning. Bilotti's in one of the side studios.
Yeah.
I see the crack of his you-know-what as he's bending down because someone decided to leave, basically ate a muffin like they were about to go to a chair and about to go to the chair. And there was crumbs and leftover muffin all over the floor.
So what? You had to be like the cleaning crew, Pete?
Oh, yeah, because no one can be adults around here.
They're all piglets. That's why. Animals.
Just slobs.
Disgusting humans.
A happy Monday morning. We get it going with the Saints as their impressive performance in Chicago. We'll get into the Cowboys throttling the Eagles as well as we look back to all the Sunday action, Week 7 of the NFL. It's Taz and the Moose on a Monday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. We got to go a little Saints football. We'll get into the Cowboys. Yes.
You know, there's a little tease. You know, every day, Moose, as you know, we do the three on this show. You know that.
Yeah.
And the thing is... we're going to give people a little tease of one of... we never do this. We've never done this. A little tease of something in the three. You know, Zach, who does the voiceovers, whatever, does voice work for us here.
Boo.
Ouch.
Yeah. This is one of the threes. We don't have to give the topic because we don't want to spoil it. But, Moose, you didn't hear this. I don't think... Moose didn't hear this, right, Mike? You're going to love this. Here's a little three. Here we go.
Tua Tagovailoa.
There you go. Okay. And that's the guy, AB, that... makes fun of you and rips you.
Yeah, that's live from Fordham University, women's basketball.
I mean, this still is also a guy. I still think the self-professed giant New York Giants expert asking me if it was Saquon really is the knockout punch to
that
Zach.
Is
like,
true,
keep throwing two at me all you want.
I mean,
Kahi Leonard's laugh sounds super creepy.
I mean, if you can't, you work at a sports station.
Yeah, but I mean, this one's excusable. Not to that extent.
What, the Tua?
Yeah, but you can't ask me if it's Saquon Barkley. You can't.
And you're a Giant fan wearing Giants.
Not only are you a Giant fan, but he likes to preach about the Giants.
I've heard him.
And old school Giants, and I know this, and you know that. And by the way, is his name Saquon?
I do agree with Bogus. One is worse than the other. The Barkley one, if you're a Giant fan and you're an Eli defender, not knowing how to pronounce Saquon Barkley is worse than... Tua's name.
Yeah, no.
But Tua's name is funnier.
Yes.
But the way he
butchered
that name is tremendous.
What's that?
The way he butchered Tua's name.
Oh, my God, it's great.
Tua Tagovailoa.
I agree. That is tremendous. That is funnier But it's an insult to you as a Giant fan not to know how to pronounce Saquon Barkley's name.
No, I agree.
You can't be a Giant fan. It would be like, is that Josh Allen?
Allen.
Right.
He's French.
Oh, man. No, you're right. You're right.
I know like, I'm locked in every week. How do you pronounce Saquon's first name?
I knew a guy years ago, right? I used to go to the same gym as him. He was a big Jet fan. And he would butcher Testaverde's last name.
Oh, that's terrible.
I'm like, to the point you're making, like,
how are you a big Jet fan?
You can't say Testaverde's
last name. It's one thing if you've never watched football before in your life, you're like, what is that Italian last name?
And how do you pronounce that? And Kim was from Long Island to boot, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh my God.
Right, and Testaverde in his prime, basically, he's like the mayor of Long Island.
There's no doubt, Franklin Square Jones.
Exactly.
And the thing is, though, like, I just find it ironic, well, not ironic, just kind of messed up, I almost just cursed for no reason, that you know, Zach just completely has verbally attacked you, Andrew, about your works outside of this lovely facility and this lovely place we work at.
The guy who does play-by-play on the internet?
And he's just, I mean, it's just all a sham with him. He loves to complain about management and what they ask him to do, and he does so much. He's a martyr. And today, our boss walks by, Mark Sherman, says, thanks for doing blah, blah, blah. I didn't hear the exact thing.
Who did he thank, Mark Sherman?
Mark thanked Zach for doing something. And Zach was like, oh, yeah, sure, no problem.
Well, like, ask Kissin' Jones.
Right.
Yeah.
But when the bosses aren't around, this place doesn't appreciate me. Wow, all they do is doing work. See, blah, blah, blah. I got to do this. I got to do that. Yeah.
In the wrestling business, what you just did there, Andrew, that's called shooting.
Good.
Okay, that means you're just going to tell the truth and you don't care.
Nope.
Like, your name is Chuck and you don't give a, you know what I mean, truck.
Yes.
Disgusting.
Exactly.
So he
sure, boss. Yeah, boss. Whatever you need, boss. Of course. Right. My pleasure, boss.
And then behind the boss's back, he's burying
killing
the company.
Him. Killing right. Everybody.
Ain't nobody with us.
That's awesome, man. And you know, we had him on. Moose and I had him on as a guest in here, Andrew. You know, and Zach, and he, you know, he's a little bit of an arrogant man.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and he's very loud, big, huge human, and he's like, he thinks he's Dick Clark with the music. Like,
me.
Breathe in.
I think I shared my age with the Dick Clark reference, but you guys got
only
it.
Casey Kasem would have been older. long distance dedication.
Casey Kasem. Man, that's funny.
That's great.
All right.
On a side note, do we still not know where Casey Kasem is? Wasn't there like a missing Casey Kasem story? Or is that somebody else?
No, I think Casey's dead.
That like they didn't know exactly where, like, his family was like hiding him.
No, no, no. That's Richard Simmons.
Richard Simmons, yeah. Right. Okay.
Oh, I actually met
Casey
him once.
Casey Kasem passed away a long time.
Did you guys ever meet Richard Simmons? Anyone here?
No.
No.
Oh, my God. What an awkward individual he is. I was years ago doing something at Sirius Radio and do a little tryout Jones many years ago. And he came in to do a show in a studio I was in right after me. What an odd guy, Richard Simmons. And he was wearing his workout stuff, his leg warmers. And I'm like, dude, this guy, you're not doing video. He's dressed like he was doing the... He goes, no, I just was on a shoot. I was just on a shoot. And now I'm here to do some radio. I'm like, all right, Richard Simmons. He goes, it's nice to meet you. Those wrestlers, you guys are crazy. And he laughed and walked away from me. I'm like, wow. Guy's like out of his mind. So, yeah, he was dressed in very...
He's basically like he was on his show.
He's exactly like he is.
He was dressed like a wrestler.
But he was wearing spandex with a scoop neckline.
Yes.
Which, you know, look, whatever floats your boat, you know what I'm saying? Whatever people wear on their days off, that's their business. But you're walking around Manhattan with a scoop neckline.
I mean, that's his thing.
But he's got a hairy chest, and it's kind of awkward. You know what I mean?
Was he wearing the striped shorts?
Yeah. He had leg warmers on, too.
Yeah.
Remember leg warmers were popular back in the day with women, people, when they were doing whatever they were doing then, gymnastics and ballet. I was in the weight room struggling 5 plates, so you know, it didn't matter to me. I was trying to get my traps huge back then.
Right, you had a scoop neck because your pecs had ripped through your shirt.
Yeah, traps were huge. There he is. This guy was really interesting cat, man. I mean, really interesting. Never want to have him as a guest on the show.
I don't think he wants to come. I don't think he wants to do anything. He's basically being... He's being kept in a house in L.A., right?
Really?
Well, that was the story by Martino in the Daily News a couple of years ago. I don't know the whole backstory to give you the background, but there was some question about where exactly he was because he was out of the public spotlight for so long.
But I need to do that.
He came out and was like A-okay.
There's a whole like podcast, wasn't there?
Yeah,
trying to like find out where
and
he was.
I think Martino, really? While he was doing before he went over to doing baseball
who's
for
Martino?
SNY. Andy Martino does stuff for SNY. Used to cover the Mets for Daily News in New York.
I don't read the paper.
He was doing investigative reports for the Daily News.
Really? Mm-hmm. So okay, I didn't know all this that this man Richard Simmons kind of disappeared. I don't pay attention to that stuff. I tell you, I'm impressed with that. The people that just disappear like that. Like I think I might do that. I like that.
There
just
you
disappear.
Go.
No, I want people to wonder. Remember that guy Taz? What happened to that guy?
Just off the grid. You already gone.
Just witness protection. That's what I want to do.
Well, it's a crime.
That was right.
In wrestling, when I left WWE and I went to TNA, that's what that was. Witness protection. No one knew. No one knew where I was.
He's and never laughed harder.
And their payroll department, they didn't know where I was either, because they had all the time getting me my check after 6 years.
That's funny.
And then I said, I'll see you. And that's a whole other story. Andrew.
So, guys, just like that, the Cowboys' three-game losing streak is over.
First and goal, and they're going to give it to Elliott. Coming left, pounding at the goal line. Touchdown, Elliott. Take that.
Sham talking smack on Cowboys Radio. 111 yards for Elliott, passing and rushing TDs from Dak Prescott. 3 takeaways from the Cowboy defense. They jumped on the Eagles on Sunday Night Football. It was 27-7 at halftime, then 37-10 after 4 quarters. Dallas back alone atop the NFC East, while Carson Wentz's team has lost 2 in a row.
There's things we got to fix, for sure. There's things we got to fix, but I'm confident that we can. I'm confident it's a long season, and we can get these things fixed and get her going in the right direction.
Wentz picked off once and lost 2 fumbles. The Ravens went to Seattle yesterday and cooled off the Seahawks 30-16. The game changed with a gamble in the third quarter.
Jackson with first in the backfield. This is going to be a quarterback run. Jackson takes a snap, runs to the right. He's got a seam. He's to the 5. He's in. Touchdown, Lamar Jackson. And the Ravens have taken the lead again.
Jackson scoring from 8 yards out on 4th down. His team never trailed again. That was Jerry Sandusky on Ravens radio. Seattle had won 3 in a row. Russell Wilson throws his first pick of the season. And new Raven Marcus Peters returned it 67 yards for a touchdown. Aaron Rodgers, 6 scores, 5 passing, 1 running to lead the Packers past the Raiders, 42-24. The Bills snuck past the Dolphins, 31-21. And the Rams rolled through Atlanta, 37-10 to end their 3-game skid. It's a 5-game drought now for those Falcons. Matt Ryan left early with a right ankle injury. And running back Devontae Freeman got tossed in the third for throwing a punch at Aaron Donald, which seems like a bad idea, ejection or not. Week 7 ends with the Jets hosting the Patriots at 8 Eastern. Surgery yesterday for Alabama QB Tua Tagovailoa.
Don't spot it up.
Todd Thompson. He suffered a right high ankle sprain Saturday night against Tennessee. Tua had the same injury and surgery on his left ankle last season. For now, he has only been ruled out for this weekend against Arkansas.
Whenever I see this kid, I'm gonna just think of Zach now. This is in my brain forever.
He's only out for the Arkansas game?
Well, I mean, they're off next week, the weekend after.
You got 20 days till LSU.
Right.
So 19 now.
All they're saying for now is he's not playing this weekend.
We haven't played anybody. I mean, and I like Alabama football. I love Nick Saban. They really haven't played anybody. Nothing's been competitive. Nothing. A friend of mine goes to the games. He lives down there. And he's texting me that he's at the game. I'm like, dude, you got to play somebody.
Yeah,
enough.
No, I agree with you.
Isn't that the problem, too? Saban's always whining about fans. The kid's not showing up.
Yeah.
Well, last year.
Right. No, but I know what you're saying. But I'm like, God, I mean, they got to get a little more. I mean, yeah.
Well, LSU will do something.
Oh, no, no doubt about that.
But other than that.
No, but really, how many weeks in are we? Right? What are they, 6, 7 weeks in?
We're reaching week 9.
Yeah.
9. Okay, with college football, it's 9. Yeah. Right. So it's like, I mean, come on.
No, they haven't. I mean, they beat up Tennessee. That was a strain. Why did that game start at 9 o'clock on Saturday night, by the way?
It's not a prime. I know. They're acting like that's going to be a prime time game. I think just because it's Alabama, and Tennessee's got some cachet, even though they're not what they used to be. But, I don't know.
Yeah, it was just a strange start time. I mean, 9 o'clock on a Saturday night, you're starting Alabama and Tennessee.
Well, I guess once CBS doesn't pick it up, it finds a place to be.
Is that why?
On ESPN, maybe?
I thought it was just late for an Alabama-Tennessee game.
Yeah.
To be starting at 9 o'clock at night.
I mean, the way Tennessee's rolling,
yeah,
you weren't going to think it was going to mean anything.
I was locked into that awesome baseball game.
yeah, we'll get into that.
Somebody's wearing a hat today.
I am wearing a hat, yes.
FAU head coach Lane Kiffin. For those of you not watching at home, Lane Kiffin fined $5,000 for tweeting a pic of three blind refs after Saturday's 5-point loss to Marshall. The Winnipeg Jets got by the Oilers last night, 1-0 in a shootout. And as we all saw yesterday, the Philadelphia Union stunned the Red Bulls 4-3 in the first round of the MLS playoffs. Philly was down 2-0 and 3-1 before Marco Fabian scored in extra time for the first postseason win in team history. Up next, Atlanta on Thursday, guys.
All right, thank you, Andrew. Right. Job well done.
We appreciate it. Let's go out to Jersey. Let's talk to our good friend here, John from Jersey.
He is John. He is John. He is John from Jersey.
Johnny! What's up, Big Hoss? What's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
What's going on, John?
How you doing there, bro?
Yeah, how was your weekend, folks?
Everything was great.
Hey.
How was yours, John, all right?
Living the life.
There you go.
Living the dream.
Well, two things. Number one, big game tonight for the Pats. I know, Taz, you're going to have your Tom Brady jersey on.
Tonight. Can't wait.
Are you going to the game tonight, Johnny?
Of course.
Oh, there you go.
Go to every game. Do you have a guy? Do you get tickets from John? You're dialed in. You go to all these games.
Taz, that's what being a fan is, brother.
No. Being a fan is sitting in my house eating nachos and this these chips with these new green salsa my wife bought, this medium Verde Jones, and having that with a big Dr. Brown's black cherry soda. That's
a couple
being
ways
a fan
to skin a cat.
That's how I look at it.
Yeah, I mean, there's John basically goes up and down the Eastern Seaboard to watch his Patriots play.
That's right, brother.
No, yeah. I know, but that's true. A lot of fans, you're right. They travel, and John, I get what you're saying. That's what being a fan is. Me, I've never been big into going to the stadium. You know, I'd like to stay home.
I got to say,
the stadium experience, I think it also depends on, you know, how much you enjoy that kind of atmosphere.
Sure,
some people just like to kind of focus in, like you do, Taz, watch the games home, enjoyable. It's a great TV sport. So there's, John, is highly, and listen, if I was on this kind of a run of my team, I'd be basically traveling to the moon to watch him play. I mean, it wouldn't matter. I mean, I agree with you. If I had the wherewithal and the money and be able to have the freedom to be able to go all over the place, of course I'd be like John from Orange. Well, I couldn't get enough of Tom Brady. I'd basically be openly weeping for weeks when he retired.
I might be doing that, believe me.
Can't wait.
Hey, did you guys or either of you see the Jalen Ramsey interview with Deion after the game?
I did not see it. No. That was yesterday after his debut with the Rams, you're talking about?
Yeah. If you go on YouTube, you'll see it. You know, Deion does those spots, social media platform it is. And they're just mocking the fact that the guy wasn't hurt, that the back injury was just a fraud. And, I mean, come on now. I have nothing against Jacksonville, Jalen Ramsey. The Rams, I honestly couldn't care less about him. But when you see that, and you're making a complete mockery of the fact that he was hurt.
That's not cool. I did not see that. Yeah, that's not right. I mean, and if he did if it was something sketchy, and he wasn't really banged up in his back and all that stuff, and because remember it was that his significant other was in labor or something, then who knows?
Well, the first time before the Denver game. Right. Was the week, Taz, that his significant other had a baby.
Right.
But then he was on the flight, headed out to Denver, but did not play in that game.
Okay, that's what it was. I can remember how
he had the back injury, all right? Or he had the back injury before that, but he could not play in that game against the Broncos. And, he couldn't play. He never played again for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then all of a sudden this week, or last week, I should say, today, a week ago today, he was over the back injury back at practice. And then a couple days later, 24 hours later, is being traded to the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah.
And again, and maybe I'm totally not reading the interview right, so if you guys see it and I'm wrong, you tell me I'm wrong. That was my first blush when I saw it. I'm like, oh, my God. And the NFL, I'm shocked that it's on the NFL Network, and, Deion, as someone on there, is just promoting the fact that the guy is – that the whole injury was a sham.
Not to have you quote John, but you sure you weren't overthinking it when you watched it? I mean, I'm not saying you're lying. I'm just,
And that's why I said, please, if you guys see it and you think I'm wrong, tell me. But, they're talking about, all those doctors in L.A. must be great out there, you know, with the back injury. And Jalen Hurts was like, yeah, buddy. You know, just like, hey, look, you know, it was, you know, we went through it. It was unfortunate. I couldn't play. It wasn't anything like that.
Right. Okay.
And again, and if I'm wrong, please.
We'll take a look at it during the course of the break because I didn't see it. Taz didn't see it. I don't think Mike or Pete saw that.
Yeah, I just found it online, but it's a 2-minute version, and that part isn't in there, so I'm not sure. I haven't seen the full interview, but that's all they're posting.
John, we appreciate it. But John,
thanks a lot for the call. Good luck to your Pats tonight. Enjoy the game.
No, not good luck to your Pats tonight. How about that? I wish the Pats luck. They don't need luck.
He's a good fan of the show. He's going to the game. I wish him a successful night. Have a good night.
Say, John, have enjoy a great time at the game. That's different.
You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry.
I don't know. I want them both to lose. But I'd rather see the Jets win because they're not going anywhere.
I want to see a good game. I hope the Jets give them a good game. That's what I'd like to see tonight.
I want to see it, too.
Yeah, I'd like to see a game that, you know, unlike what we saw last night, we'll get into the Cowboys' performance. But, I mean, back to the Ramsey thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can, you know, find it some way. Maybe they might have basically expunged it from social media.
Well, I'm sorry. Mike
basically said he found 2 minutes of it, has nothing. None of that is in there.
Okay. But so you're right. Maybe they got rid of it. Maybe they took it down.
They might have gotten rid of it.
The Rams might have not won it on there.
Or the NFL.
Well, that's even a better point.
It makes the NFL look awful.
That's a good point.
When they're joking around about an injury when he's not playing for a team and he's still getting paid, that's insulting.
Why would Deion do that?
They all joke. I mean, he jokes around.
Shockularity Jones.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, that's Deion.
You're right.
I mean, that's he jokes guy. Around. Plus, he, you know, it's a comfort zone. They feel comfortable with him. He's a former player, Hall of Famer.
D-back.
You know, as he's asking all kinds of different kind of questions. And everything and the like. I didn't see it. You know, I'm not the biggest Deion broadcaster fan. We've established that before. I was not locked into NFL Network post-game Jaguars.
How does John find this stuff? John just searches the internet.
I don't know. I think he just said he was watching the NFL Network and saw it. So they got rid of Deion's show, though, right? 21st
they
to Prime
did.
Is
yeah,
done.
I'm so bummed. I used to love it.
Does he still dance at the street sign?
I'm sure he does anyway with no cameras on him. He might just be dancing randomly.
In the studio. Remember when they used to do that?
Yeah.
21st and Prime.
I do.
And then he'd do his dance. Do they still do that?
I don't. Well, if the show's gone, is he just going to dance like for no reason?
I'm not saying that. Well, the show is gone, but I'm saying did they still have him at some point doing that during the post game? Hey, let's go over to Deion. He's at 21st and Prime. And he's doing his dance.
I don't have the answer.
His touchdown dance.
I wish I had the answer. I don't know.
I'm just curious.
That's funny, though.
It's Taz and the Moose. It's up Monday morning. It's CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Time right now to Ask the Pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit your question. Be listening later on in the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. And last night down in Dallas, the Cowboys had their way with the Philadelphia Eagles, who've got all kinds of defensive woes right now. Issues along that offensive line, too. The Cowboys had some guys healthier. Collins back along that defensive line. Tackles back along the offensive line as well. Elliott was fantastic. Prescott making some throws as well. That Eagles defense is in trouble right now, as is the offensive line for the Philadelphia Eagles. As Carson Wentz was in duress most of the night, they win the game going away. I mean, it really wasn't. I mean, at one point, I mean, it was 14-7, 21-7. You know, the game ends up being, what, a 37-10 final? You know, there wasn't really much to watch in the second half. And unless you enjoy watching Cowboys football or the destruction of the Philadelphia Eagles, because the game was an absolute laugh for Dallas's way.
Yeah, no, it really was. It just lacked a lot of energy, too, because it was just a one-sided affair, and Cowboys were home, and they were dominant. You know, Prescott was pretty efficient, I got to say. I mean, it wasn't like he had amazing numbers, but he had one touchdown, one interception. But he was 21-27 with about 240 yards, so that's pretty good.
Good.
You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? So I thought he was pretty efficient. But, no, you're right. It's just the Eagles. Like, what happened here? Like, the Eagles, like, what happened? Like, they were, you know what I mean? Like,
the Eagles, they just didn't feel like it was just yesterday they were in the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy. It's just, it's, and Wentz, like, he's not even on the radar. I mean, that's probably a little stretch, but, you know what I mean? Like, no one's talking about Wentz. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing, it's, you know.
Why? There's no buzz.
There's nothing.
No, I get it. I mean, you know, before he tore his ACL, Taz, he was the MVP of the league. Yeah. And it seems like his career arc is completely changed after he tore that ACL out in Los Angeles. Full steps in. Eagles go on to win the Super Bowl. Last year, there's the reports down in Philadelphia about Wentz as a teammate. Remember, we talked about all that.
Yes.
And, you know, Nick Foles steps in once again and leads them. Then Nick Foles eventually leaves in free agency, which we both agreed needed to happen for Carson Wentz to assume the leadership role of this team. He even put it on himself that he needs to get better at certain things. And, you know, last night wasn't particularly good. And you're right. He's playing like a guy. Not the guy.
Right.
And that's a problem if you're the Philadelphia Eagles, is you need your guy that is your franchise guy to play like the man. And that's not what you're seeing from Wentz. You're seeing a guy he's okay, he was fine. I mean, listen, the Eagles, you can't go on the road, I don't care who you have, and turn the football over four times and win a football game.
No.
You can't do that. No. And so the Eagles played a sloppy, bad game, you know, last night down in Dallas. Now, the Cowboys were really good, and to play to your point, you know, as Wentz said after the game, as Bogus played during his update, they've got to get a lot better in a lot of different facets of the team, Taz. But we're sitting here, we're approaching week eight. They're a 3-4 team. You know, the Cowboys now assume leadership in that division, the NFC East at 4-3. They snapped that 3-game losing streak. Eagles got to get right real quick because the last 2 weeks they've not looked good. They got lit up by Minnesota, and they got lit up by Dallas last night.
Yeah, and they're, for the Eagles, I mean, you're lucky that the other two teams in that division stink worse than you, meaning the Giants and the Redskins. I mean, the Cowboys, to the point, you know, they're in first place. Like I said, 4-3. I mean, it almost equates to the AFC East. You know, it's like it's the Patriots, and then the Bills are sitting 5-1. My Bills, and yeah, they won yesterday, but and then the Jets, you know, 1-4, and then the Dolphins, they don't have a win yet. So, like, so it's almost like the same thing. Like you're second because everybody else stinks, and that's kind of what it is with. You know, with the Philadelphia Eagles right now, it's just crazy.
Yeah, they're not playing great right now.
No, they're not. They come off of having this, like I said, it felt like yesterday they just won the Super Bowl. They were just, everybody was talking about, you know, Doug Peterson and everything there. And, you know, Wentz was out hurt, obviously. And then Nick Foles did his thing, and now Foles is Gonski. But still, like, it's just, like, the whole team did not get dismantled. That defense is almost intact the same way, and they had an awesome defense. It's just not the same anymore.
And they've lost two straight, Taz, and they go up to Buffalo next week. Then it's the Bears at home. Then they have a bye week. Then it's the Patriots at home and Seahawks at home.
Yeah.
And that takes us to the end of November. I mean, that's a tough stretch when you look at this Eagle team as sitting there at 3-4. I mean, you know, they've got to find a way to beat your Buffalo Bills to get themselves back to the 500 mark. I mean, they have to be, if they want to try and compete with the Cowboys in this division, they've got to be 5-4 and win two in a row here against the Bills and the Bears before they get to that bye week.
If they, to the point you just made, Moose, if they go to Buffalo next week and lose, it's like, yeah, they're going to,
it's going to have a tough go of it.
It's super tough. I think it's going to be a good game. I mean, but the Bills are tough at home, and they, well, we'll get into that later on, I guess. But it wasn't exactly amazing how they played against a stinkfest Dolphins team yesterday. I got very angry during this game. But
yeah, we'll get into that. Yeah. We'll get into that Bills and Dolphins very game angry. As the Dolphins and Fitzpatrick showed yourself a little bit of heart. Also, a scary moment last night. And obviously, our thoughts with all those that were affected. But how about the fact the tornado touched down 15 miles outside the stadium?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I mean, that is, when you think about, I mean, that is scary down there in Arlington, AT&T Stadium.
Terrifying.
15 miles.
That's close. I mean,
that's extremely insane. Close when you think about where there's about 105,000 people. Now, there's devastation and homes were destroyed and everything like that. But, I mean, you think about, you know, how close that is to a massive sporting event where a tornado touches down in Texas. That is, I couldn't believe it when I heard it last night.
I know. Hey, well, prayers with everyone and best wishes to everybody affected down there with that. It's a scary, horrible situation. For
absolutely.
Sure.
And Doug Peterson, do you think he regrets saying we're going to beat the Cowboys?
Yes.
You think so? I think he does.
I think he's probably got bigger fish to fry right now. My quick answer was yes, he regrets it.
As they lose by 27 last night. We'll mix a little baseball into the conversation. The World Series is set. It's going to get going Tuesday night down in Houston as the Astros will entertain the Washington Nationals. Nationals, a long extended break after their sweep in the NLCS. We'll touch upon the pivotal and what was an amazing game 6 Saturday night between the Yanks and Astros next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.